Welcome to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. NXT 2.0 podcast time. Hello, it is wonderful to see you again. I am Zachary Smith. I am your host each and every week on the unofficial WWE Podcast Network. And I have the honor, the joy, the privilege, the overwhelming responsibility of reviewing NXT 2.0, which, as we established a couple of weeks ago, is now just going to be a bad television show, which makes it not fun to, like, watch, certainly. Like, when I watched NXT 1.0, I don't recall ever looking at the time to see how much time is left in the show. But now I do. So that's pretty cool. But it is easier in some ways to talk about a bad show for somebody like me. That's really kind of a jokester and a crap giver at heart. So, you know, we have that at least. And I'm always excited to talk to you guys. I used to listen to wrestling podcasts. I never thought that I would host one. This is a lot of fun. So I'm going to talk a lot of crap about this show today, but know that I'm having a great time the whole time. Now, before we get started, you can find me on Twitter. I'm at ZachNXT, at ZachNXT. Talking wrestling, other fun stuff over there. News time. We usually talk about news and notes, what's going on in WWE. I don't know if you heard, there were some more releases. And I meant to look this up before, but WWE this quarter made some astronomical amount of money. In the article it says here, quarterly revenues of $256 million on their earnings call earlier last week. So that's cool. So obviously when you have those kind of quarterly earnings, that's a big turn down. You got to release a bunch of talented people. I will remind you, we're still a pandemic, still probably not the easiest thing in the world finding work during a surprise release. Some of the releases, Frankie Monet, better known as Taya Valkyrie, Ember Moon, Karrion Kross, Scarlett Bordeaux, Grand Metalik, Nia Jax, Harry Smith, Mia Yim, Eva Marie, B-Fab from Hit Row, Oney Lorcan, Lindsay Dorado. There's a lot to talk about here. I feel bad for Mia Yim. She was in that terrible Retribution stable, and then they just did not know what to do with her. Eva Marie, I mean, whatever, man. B-Fab literally just got called up from NXT. Not sure why you would take out one of the more interesting parts of Hit Row. She was very green in the ring, but since when does WWE ever care about that? Oney Lorcan's always been a lot of fun to watch, but, I mean, that was probably going to happen eventually because he's a really good hand, and WWE doesn't care about that sort of thing. That Ember Moon experiment the second time around really went well, huh? She was doing absolutely nothing on the main roster. Going after the 24/7 title, which is like a death bell of a career move. And then sent her back to NXT. She was a big deal for a sec, and then nothing, and then just kind of quietly released. She's very, very, very talented. I hope she gets a chance to, like, actually show that. I feel bad for Scarlett and Karrion Kross, man. If you remember, when Karrion Kross first started showing up and was being booked as a monster with him and Scarlett on NXT, I wasn't a big fan of it because it sounded like two high school kids writing dark tarot card poetry together. But then the gimmick changed. He became more like a real person and Scarlett became more like a real person, and it was kind of fun, right? Like, didn't quite fit in NXT, but that's fine. And then they send him to the main roster. They get rid of Scarlett because obviously that's not what helped the gimmick work or anything. Don't know what they were going to do with her. And then had him lose to Jeff Hardy. We're going to have him lose again, except I think Jeff got sick. And then did nothing, put a stupid gladiator outfit on him. And wouldn't you know it, he was a joke and they released him. Whatever you think of Karrion Kross, he had a lot of the things that Vince looks for in one of his guys, right? But I think this is just kind of further showing you that they don't actually want new WrestleMania main eventers. Because again, whatever you think of Karrion Kross, I could absolutely map out for you a scenario in which I send Karrion Kross to the main roster, and by next WrestleMania, he can be near, if not the main event. Like, he has the look, he has just enough promo ability, and he has enough intensity that you can feel through the screen, and Scarlett is an X factor that you could have done that, and they didn't want to. Frankie Monet was a bad gimmick. Taya Valkyrie's cool. Frankie Monet sucked, and I don't know why you'd release her, but you sure did. Don't worry, that NXT women's division's doing just fine. We didn't need another talent. I saved the weirdest one for last, Keith Lee. WWE's doing this new fun thing where when they release people, because, you know, they're bad people, they like to say, they used to say, oh, they didn't have it, or creative had nothing for them. And then they realized that made them sound like they were bad at their jobs. So they're doing this thing now where they're saying, like, Bray Wyatt or Keith Lee were, quote, difficult to work with, unquote, behind the scenes. And they said that, like, Keith didn't like to do jobs even in NXT, which is pretty sweet. So first off, obviously that's not true. It sure would be weird if Keith were that kind of person and we didn't hear about it until just now, you know, but obviously not true. But even if it were, if Bray Wyatt and Keith Lee... Bray Wyatt was probably difficult for you to work with because he came up with a really good idea in The Fiend, and as soon as you started touching it, it started getting worse, and the last iteration of his character, you ruined by having him lose a lot. So probably, yeah, he wouldn't want to lose as much. And Keith Lee comes in, changes his music to something much worse, changes attire, have him do promos in a very certain way, have him beat Randy Orton, basically, on his first time out there. So yeah, he would probably have an expectation that you're doing something with me. You had me go against Brock Lesnar in the Royal Rumble for a bit. Like, yeah, let's actually get this going. And then you have an inability to, because you have neither the ability or inclination to build up new stars. And then that person gets frustrated and you say they're difficult to work with. I think WWE might be the ones that are difficult to work with. Your friendly reminder that AEW airs on both Wednesdays and Fridays. Seems to be a company that, like, actually cares about the people that work there. The only person I can think of off the top of my head that was unhappy in AEW is Brian Cage. And Brian Cage is just kind of a plank of wood in terms of promos and, like, character. It looks like $1 million, wrestles like $1 million, gets hurt a lot, and no promos from him. So I could see why that wouldn't work. And I also think if they released him, they'd have nothing but good things to say about him. Because if you release somebody, you should at least have the common decency to not try and make it harder for them to get a job. I could almost understand releasing Keith Lee, just using him as the one example. I could almost understand it. Really, I can't. But if that's it in a vacuum, I get it. What I do not understand is you being so insecure as a company that you have to say, no, 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 it was his fault. He was difficult to work with, which in theory would make it more difficult for Keith Lee to get a job down the road. Because if I'm a wrestling promoter and he just got fired seemingly out of nowhere by the biggest wrestling company in the world, and that wrestling company says, oh, he was difficult to work with, he doesn't like to lose, he has a big ego, I might think twice about signing that guy or having him appear on one of my shows. That's past negligent then. That's like having a vendetta against somebody. Do not release somebody when you're making more money than you've ever made, but definitely don't make it so that it might be a little bit more difficult for them to get a job. You know? This sure is a fun company to support. Here's a funny headline from Sportskeeda. Quote, allergic to success. Bruce Pritchard, which is a good start, feels former WWE wrestler could have been a megastar. They're talking about Mr. Kennedy. Around 2006 time, he is doing really well. He wins Money in the Bank. And he eventually, I think it's hurt and has to lose it to Edge. Or I forget if he was in trouble and had to lose it to Edge or whatever. Here's Bruce Pritchard's quote. Quote, I think at the time, everybody enjoyed working with Kennedy. You know, Ken, hell of a talent, hell of a worker, hell of a talker. Very good in the ring. I've said it before. I think that, you know, Ken in some ways was either allergic to success, just had that mental block when he reached that certain level to go beyond and be the megastar that I think he truly could have been, stated Pritchard. Okay. So Kennedy, it's easy to forget, was an incredible promo, had incredible charisma, was really good in the ring. There were a couple problems. He would get hurt from time to time. That was a problem. And then in some order, there was an issue between him and Randy Orton and him and maybe John Cena, I forget, where he either was less than ideally safe with them in the ring or stuff happens in a wrestling match, and if you're in there with John Cena and or Randy Orton and something happens, it's going to be your fault, right? So he wins Money in the Bank, and then something happens where they completely lose faith in him. And he had a feud with The Undertaker right before that. It went about as well as a feud with The Undertaker normally goes. Nothing but making new stars over there. And then he loses that Money in the Bank contract, I believe, to Edge. And then we kind of don't hear from him, and then he's quietly released. I don't think Kennedy had a block at all. I never heard anything bad about him when he went to TNA afterward. He didn't become a megastar, but nobody in TNA became a megastar. I think maybe there's a little bit of a crabs in a bucket thing where if somebody's coming up, you don't want them to get to a certain level, whether that's the people in the back or the people making decisions or something to that effect. And then if you don't like somebody, or you don't want them to get to a certain level, you'll find reasons. Oh, he gets hurt. Oh, you convince yourself he's unsafe in the ring. Oh, he has a mental block. Or maybe it's really hard to become a megastar or one of the guys in WWE and maybe try more than like once or two times. Putting somebody in a feud with The Undertaker is not the star-making thing that you think that it is. That's a whole other podcast, man, but I promise you it's not the star-making thing you think it is. And then having them win Money in the Bank isn't the star-making thing that you think it is. Like, it got Edge a world title, it got a lot of people world titles, it got CM Punk world titles 2 years in a row, got Dolph Ziggler one of the biggest pops I've ever heard, but it's not necessarily star-making. Right now, it's star-making for Big E because he's now in main event segments and they've been kind of goofy with Drew and there's been some fun stuff and now you have to back it up with like a Seth Rollins feud and good stuff. But like maybe try more than two things. Like let him heal up, have him fix whatever behavior you've convinced yourself is unacceptable and try again. Maybe it's not a mental block. Maybe you didn't have the right set of circumstances. I bet if a few things go differently for, like, The Rock or Stone Cold or John Cena or Hulk Hogan, I bet they wouldn't have been megastars either, and I don't think Kennedy would have been any of those guys, but I think he would have been really good. He's only 45 now, so that's 15 years ago. He was 30 years old when that happened. Kennedy was the same age as me right now. He could still be around. But they convinced themselves they couldn't do it. Because he had a mental block. Not, we failed. In his television show where we control all of the outcomes, we control how everything looks, sounds, and generally is presented, somehow the talent was so bad and had such a block that we couldn't fix it. But that, of course, makes none of it our fault. Sweet, dude. NXT 2.0, we're starting with Toxic Attraction for the second week in a row. They're still doing Toxic Nailed It. Attraction's entrance the same way. I wish they wouldn't because the whole point is, oh man, they sure are hot. And we could ideally just let them be champions. Mandy's the women's champion. Gigi and JC are the women's tag champions. Maybe just let them be that. That would be cool. I'm not against, like, oh man, they're attractive, but I am against their, like, soul trait being that they're, like, snarky and hot, and that's it, you know? This is a six-woman tag match to open the show. Casey Catanzaro, Caden Carter, and Io Shirai are their opponents. I'll remind you again, remember when Io was a really good NXT Women's Champion? That was fun. Six-woman tag gets about 8 minutes, dude. Gigi Dolan pins Caden Carter to win for her team in 8 minutes. Just so I'm absolutely clear, the women get 8 minutes, and the selling point of your championship stable that just got 8 minutes is, boy, they sure are hot, but not so hot that, like, we're going to give them more than 8 minutes bell to bell. That's cool. That's pretty cool. Go to the back. Pete Dunne's being interviewed. I forgot Pete Dunne was here. He's talking about Tony D'Angelo. He says if Tony wants to make a name for himself, he knows where to find me. He's almost immediately interrupted by Carmelo and Trick Williams. Trick says to his face he's a punk and says all this other stuff about him. Calls him a bum. Right before this, Pete Dunne said that he was the baddest man at NXT. And like the baddest man in NXT would, he just stands there and talks to them. Because that's how a bad man settles a dispute. Pete Dunne says he will break Carmelo's fingers, but does not actually do anything and watches as they both walk off because he is a bad man. We're back to the ring. Toxic Attraction is still standing on the entrance ramp, and Kaylee Ray is here with her really bad theme music that I forgot about. She has a match. Quick stare down between Mandy Rose and Kaylee Ray. Saray is out here. She is Kaylee Ray's opponent. So this match between two really good wrestlers gets about 5 minutes. Really four and change if I'm not being generous. So, bell to bell, not even 15 minutes. For two back-to-backs women wow, what a sentence, huh? For two back-to-back women's matches. There we go. I knew I had it in me. Bell to bell. Cool. So, at this point, there have been like 24 minutes into the show. So if you count entrances and the Pete Dunne interview, the women's part didn't even really hit 20 minutes. That's pretty sweet, huh? That's cool. So, I mean, Kaylee Ray wins in like 4 minutes and change. Really glad Saray's here. I'm sure she's happy too. Posted on social media like, why do I keep losing? Presuming that there is some story here. If Triple H were still running it, maybe I would think that there would be. But I bet I won't care. Dude, you've already shown me her. You basically told me the story of somebody who had too much hype behind them, didn't live up to it, and now you're asking me to care because she lost, and I don't. There have now been two commercials for the WrestleMania that's going to be happening in Dallas. Now listen, I am certainly not going to tell you how to live your life, but I would argue, if you're going to risk being out in a pandemic, and you're going to risk it for, like, WWE, I mean, you know what? Chase your happiness. I'm not going to say anything else about it. WrestleMania is going to be 2 nights again. Good. WrestleMania is always too long, and I get it. You want to put everybody on the card, and I like that philosophy, but let's have it be 2 nights so you're not doing, like, a six-hour marathon of a subpar wrestling product. So good. That's going to be good. There's clips from the WWE UK live tour. It's highlighting Braun Breaker. Braun Breaker could be a star, but it is much more likely he will go to the main roster. Vince McMahon will get bored of him for no discernible reason, except, shut up, you've never run a wrestling company, it's an intuition thing. And then Bruce Pritchard on his podcast will eventually say he didn't have a good attitude or couldn't be a megastar or something, and then it'll somehow be someone else's fault, even though they're having a lot of input into NXT 2.0, and the whole point is to make them stars. But if they don't become stars, that's on the talent. Certainly not on us or the system we make that produces no new stars. So that's pretty cool. That's going to be cool. Jacket Time. Jacket Time is the name of the team of Kushida and Ikeminjiro. They had their promo last week, and that is playing on the wall as Diamond Mine is training. Real quick, what in the hell are we doing with Jacket Time, huh? Ikeminjiro is kind of a comedy character. Kushida is and is not, I would argue, is not. How do we take these two really interesting and really good wrestlers and put them together and we get jacket time? Because listen, here's the problem. I don't care about Diamond Mind. I haven't cared about Diamond Mind for a second. I'd love to, but I bet you I won't at any point. They are boring as a stable. And also, the Cruiserweight title is not important enough to bolster a stable. That can't be your, that can't be your, like, main title. You know? That's not gonna do it for me. So, like, there's nothing particularly interesting about them, and they're not even, like, the champions. They're, like, one of them is the Cruiserweight champion. So cool. And so, jacket time, on the other side, is what happens when Vince McMahon sees someone who doesn't primarily speak English, which is to say, it's a really bad idea wrapped in racial insensitivity, to put it as lightly as I can. So cool, I guess, you know. The tag team brother dudes from Diamond Mind are fighting jacket time. Awesome. Solo Sikoa is in the back. He's being interviewed. He looks like he's trying to look really mean. He's immediately interrupted by Grayson Waller. He says LA Knight was talking trash about him. And LA Knight comes in right on cue saying that if I was talking smack, I would say it to his face. And then he talks smack to both of them. Blah, 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 blah. They're going to have a triple threat matchup. Bet it's going to be short. Spoiler alert, it was. Grayson and LA Knight are arguing after Solo Sikoa walks off, so that's fun. Oh, good, we're doing it now. It's jacket time. Their entrance video starts with a jacket, and it opens up, and there's a clock underneath. Do you get it? Hey, real quick, do you get it? Because their name is Jacket Time, right? So their name is Jacket Time. And then, to, like, get that across, they have Ikemenjiro and Kushida yell Jacket Time, but in case you missed them yelling and you can only see, like, maybe you're deaf, I don't know, I'm not going to judge you. They start with a jacket. That's the jacket in Jacket Time. And then, to represent time, the jacket opens, and you're not going to believe what it is. It's a clock. And so it's Jacket Time. Do you get it? That's pretty... Say what you want about NXT 2.0. That's pretty clever, you know? This is bad. This is really, really bad. Everything about it's bad. Their theme is the default style of WWE theme for a Japanese or Chinese wrestler. You knew that was coming. 4-minute match, that was. The announcers had the audacity to tell me that that was a statement win for the Creed brothers. And listen, I get it. They tell you what to say, but don't you lie to me on the television show that I watch. Creed Brothers win, man, so there's that. Odyssey Jones comes out. He takes out Roderick Strong and the Creed Brothers to help Jacket Time. Awesome, dude. The announcer said that they won't be able to find a jacket big enough for Odyssey Jones because they're Jacket Time, so if you're going to be with him, you have to have a jacket. But also, Odyssey Jones is fat. Where are they going to find a jacket for that fat guy? And he's just a black dude. He's not going to fit in with them at all. That's funny. Dude, that's funny. Toxic Attraction leaving the building. They say they're going to have these titles for a long time. Gigi Dolan says they'll have to pry it out of their hot, dead bodies. Sick, dude. Get it? They're hot. Raquel pulls up on a motorcycle with no helmet. I understand that they think that looks cooler. Put a helmet on. You could drop your bike from a standstill and ruin your life with a brain injury. Put a helmet on. I ride a motorcycle, and I see that all the time. Put a helmet on, dude. It's not cool. Says she'll deal with Mandy later. Also tells her to keep that title warm for her. And I don't know about you, but the most intimidating thing you can do to somebody is talk to them and then not do anything to them after. So that's cool. So now she's in the ring. Raquel is intimidating looking. She has a physical presence about her, but not with promos. We should get her a manager or something, because that's not her thing, and that's okay. But you don't have to keep... You don't have to do it, because it's not good. And you don't need to... to show it every time. You know, like, Paul Heyman was really good at emphasizing strengths and de-emphasizing weaknesses, and it seems as though WWE does the opposite a lot. But, you know, whatever, what do I know? I've never run a wrestling company, and so, you know, I'm a podcaster, so I don't know, you know? Okay, so she calls out Dakota Kai, and Dakota has new scary music. You can tell it's scary because it has a lot of screams at the beginning. Okay, so Dakota comes out, and in fact, Dakota is weird. It's not just me. She's twitchy. Why is she twitchy? Like, listen, I don't even really understand how we got here, but I kind of sort of understand. You lose to Raquel, you have, like, I don't know, a mental break, and you start being weird. But the version that they're having her do is just, like, twitchy, which makes her look like somebody that, like, at a red light starts washing your windshield for you and then wants money to buy something questionable with. That's the vibe I'm getting. And I imagine that's not what they were going for. But here we are, dude. And I get it. You lost to Raquel. You didn't win the women's title. That's not such... I want you to be upset about that. I don't want you to be so upset that you start hanging around graveyards with shovels and twitching, you know? It's like, again, it's if Alexa Bliss, her character was a 10 on the weird scale, they're having Dakota do like a 4. And you either have to be all in with that and be totally crazy, or you have to just like be a little bit off. You can't be right up to twitchy and it just looks weird every time. That's weird. I don't know. Okay, so she's doing a promo, says it felt really good hitting Raquel with that shovel. But never forget, Dakota Kai's still a dork because she gets like a sentence and a half in and Cora Jade comes out from the back and is beating her up. Now, I will remind you, Cora Jade is beating up Dakota Kai because last week Dakota Kai lightly placed a table onto her, was going to jump on her, but then didn't, and then put her skateboard onto her stomach. So Dakota put the skateboard on Cora's stomach, which is the ultimate disrespect. And so disrespectful, in fact, that Cora simply had to fight her right this second. So that's happening. They get pulled apart. Raquel gets Cora's attention, basically gets in her face and says, "I get it. She's mine first." Cora says, okay. Cora offers a fist bump that Raquel rejects. Jesus Christ. What are we doing with all of this? All of the women in this segment are very talented. Raquel doesn't seem to have, like, it at the moment, or at least they're not presenting her in a way that shows it. But she is the former NXT Women's Champion, and I get it. I really do. They decide who wins beforehand, and sometimes they experiment with it, and I totally understand, and that's fair. But winning the main title for your division on a show means something to me as a wrestling fan. So you being a former world champion means something to me. You being the top woman in NXT for an extended period of time and beating probably my favorite women's champion of all time, Io Shirai. That means a lot to me. And so I, because of that, have an expectation of some level of how that person is going to be presented going forward, so as to not tarnish the memory of them winning that title, and so it wasn't in vain. And Cora Jade is very young. She has a cool look. She has a cool gimmick. She's good in the ring. Dakota Kai is so much better than all of this. She's not going to be your top woman. Not everybody has to be. If she had beaten Raquel for that women's title, I would have been over the moon. All three of these women are better than this. Cora coming out to fight a twitchy Dakota Kai because Dakota laid a skateboard on Cora, and Raquel ignoring Mandy, just saying, "Keep my title warm," and riding by, and then stopping Cora, saying, "She's mine," and then all three of them have beef. What are we doing with any of this? Doesn't matter. Next segment, Solo Sikoa finishing his entrance. Grayson Waller and LA Knight are already in the ring. Sick, dude. 5, maybe 6 minutes for a triple threat match. That's plenty of time, huh? That's 2 minutes of offense for each person. Solo Sikoa pins the loser LA Knight with a top rope splash. Grayson Waller and LA Knight roll out of the ring. They're nowhere to be found because it's time for Solo Sikoa to pose, dude. 6 minutes, baby. Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams back from break. They're making their entrance. Dexter Lumis is at ringside for this match. The main event of the show gets about 10 minutes. What an achievement. Double-digit match, baby. Hey, real quick, there's a commercial that kept coming on that I want to talk about. It's an eHarmony commercial where you, like, date, but you're supposed to, like, date to get married or something. And what happens is there's three different women on this commercial selling it to you. And the first one is a woman doing yoga, and she says, finding love shouldn't be a stretch. Get it? Because she's doing yoga, she's stretching. Fantastic. You know I love puns. But then there's a problem. There's two more women. There's a woman that rollerblades up to the camera, and she just says, I'm very excited about using eHarmony or something. And then there's a third woman who kind of looks like an artist who also is just like, oh, eHarmony is so great. And I'm mad because what should have happened in that commercial is the yoga person should have said, finding love shouldn't be a stretch, right? That makes sense. The rollerblader should have said, now I found love and I'm rolling with it. Or I'm rolling with eHarmony. Shut up, I'm workshopping it on the fly. The artist should have said, finding a relationship shouldn't have to create it, you know, out of clay. Or finding love should be a work of art. I want a relationship that's like a work of art. All three of those need to be puns, or none of them need to be puns. Is that important? No. Also, yes, a little bit, because there was a better version of this commercial. All right, anyway, we're back from commercial. Pete Dunne wins with the bitter end in 10 minutes. Keep in mind, Carmelo's the A champion. And listen, I understand he's a bad guy. He's going to say that. I just overall don't really care. And I think production-wise, they made a really stupid decision having Carmelo Hayes not go after the NXT title, and I don't care. Can we please get Pete Dunne's dead body, or rather, Pete Dunne out of this dead body of a show? Because Pete Dunne and Johnny Gargano stick out like a sore thumb on this really bad wrestling show because they're really good wrestlers. You know? Like, don't have them. They don't need them there, and they don't need to be there. It would be better if they weren't there, because then they wouldn't be doing these dumb things. Johnny's there, too. He ran some interference during the match. There's a lot, oh, that's not a zombie, that's Johnny. So now, there is actually a pretty cool scenario where Carmelo has now to worry about Johnny Gargano and Pete Dunne for his North American title. I like that. But the problem is they're going to have a match that's like 5 minutes. So it's like the culmination of this story is going to be a short match. So I can't even really care that much. Anyway, that's your NXT / eHarmony commercial review show. Had a lot of fun doing it. Hope you had fun listening to it. One more time, at Twitter, at ZachNXT, at ZachNXT. Talking wrestling and other fun stuff over there. Otherwise, you can find me here next week to talk about what I'm sure will be the beginning of the turnaround for NXT 2.0. Watch your back, NXT, or AEW. Watch your back, Mimi. Coming for your show, dude. Next week it starts. That's it for NXT. So that's it for me. I have been Zachary Smith. You have been fantastic as always, and thank you for listening.